Behold, says the Lord, I am blowing my trump. I am sounding the alarm, for it is the time of the ingathering. It is the time when I will gather those who are willing to come to me, those who hear my voice, those who hear my call to respond. It is a time that I am in gathering in order to establish that which I desired at the very beginning, to walk in the earth among men, to live and to move among my people, those who I have created, those who would be called by my name, those who would dare to separate themselves from the things of the world and dare to be called the sons of God. For such a declaration has long been dreamed of, but very seldom have men, under the prompting of my spirit, dared to declare themselves to be the sons of God. Jesus spoke of this. He spoke of it in the scriptures. He taught these things. And yet people were afraid because of their pride. They were afraid to declare themselves to be my children, says God. For when you declare yourselves to be my children, the world looks at you differently. Not only will they ridicule you, not only will they say things against you, but they will look to you to prove that which you claim to be. So many are afraid to say, I am a son of God, for they know the expectations that begin to arise. But this is the day of the ingathering. This is the day when I am drawing my children together, where they will boldly declare, we are the children of God. And the world will look and they will behold, and they will test you, and they will bring things against you, and they will revile you for my name's sake, says the Lord. And yet they will see my children stand, for my children know who is their father, and they will not deny me, says God. And it shall be a great witness to the world. For they will say, we have brought all these things against them, and yet they still declare to be the children of God. And he will not be able to drive this out of you, for it is the new birth. It is the manifestation. It is the establishment of my kingdom. And in that day, says God, I will draw all things together in one, and you shall be one in me, says God, and I shall be one in you. And the signs and the wonders that you've longed for, that you've sought after, oh, they will begin to flow, but not as you suppose, but they will begin to flow because you have dared to make the declaration. You have dared to make the stand. You have dared to not back down. And when you speak, things will be declared and they will come to pass quickly. Even in your time, you shall see these things, declares God. For the time is short, and the devil knows it, but my people don't. For they still look and say, well, things will have gone this way for years and years and years, and will continue to go, oh, that you would hear the trump. Oh, that you would hear. For not only is my trump sounding in a variety of churches, but more and more people are gathering to my trump, for it is becoming a clarion call to my body that I have broken down the wall of division. I have broken down the wall of separation, and I am making of you and the Jew one new person. A person in Christ. Jew and Gentile married together. And people will say, well, this can't be, this can't be. Oh, but it will be. It will be, says the Lord. It will be that they shall come together in those days as one. And you will not be able to tell one apart from the other, for they will all declare to be the sons of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So stand fast. Stand fast in these days. Do not despair. Do not fret. Do not worry, for the sound of war will be all about you. And yet, I have made a place for you, a secret place, where even in the midst of the persecution, you shall be kept safe, for you will know to whom you belong, and I will keep you, and the enemy will not touch you. So stand fast. Make the decision now. Prepare for it. Stand fast. Stand fast and do not back down. Do not waver, for this is the time when those who are double-minded shall perish. But take the stand. Take the stand and stand in me, says the Lord.
Yea, my people, and I would say unto you again this day, yea, know that I have spoken to you of wars and rumors of wars. But yea, I say unto you that the great war has begun. Yea, thou shalt not see peace come upon the land anymore, but thou shalt see war. Thou shalt hear rumors of war. For yea, I say unto you that the bear shall come over the mountain. Yea, the bear shall begin to devastate. Yea, the bear shall begin to claw. Yea, the bear shall begin to eat up those countries around about them. For yea, I say unto you, my people, that the hate is against the Jew. Yea, the hate is against the remnant and the bride of Christ. Yea, Satan walketh down up to and fro upon this earth. Yea, his plan is to devour, but I say unto you that I am a mighty God, and I am mighty to the pulling down of the strongholds of the enemy. Yea, my people, as you will pray, yea, as you will pray for my country Israel, as you will pray for my town and my city Jerusalem, yea, my people, I say unto you, for yea, I, the Lord thy God, shall bring peace upon that land. But yea, my son shall rule and reign in that place, in that time. For yea, it is the time and the season of the coming of my son. Yea, look around about thee. Yea, look at those who need to have the salvation of Jesus Christ. And I say unto you, begin to speak boldly. Begin to tell them about me. For yea, I say unto you, look unto the Lord thy God, for I shall fill thy mouth with the words that thou must say. Yea, they shall come from all directions unto this place, from the east and the north and the south and the west. And yea, they shall gather here to hear of the things of my kingdom. And I say unto you that you are my bride. Yea, you are my people. Yea, you are my children. Be not ashamed to stand and say that I am a son or a daughter of God. Yea, that might bring persecution unto you, but I say, fear not the persecution that is to come upon my church. For yea, I, the Lord thy God, am the head. I am the fashioner. I am the molder. I am the one that has made it. And yea, my people, there is a need of thee this day. I need to stand before the Lord thy God in power and in might. Have not I said unto you that you shall have my power? Take that power and go forth. Take that power and go forth. Be led of me, says the Lord thy God. The place shall not remain empty for long, for yea, there is a season of ingathering. And I say unto you, as you would look around, and as thou would see, even on these mornings when thou dost gather unto me, all of those who are mowing grass, and all of those who are walking the streets, and all of those who are sitting out and sunning themselves, for yea, they have no desire for the things of God. But yea, I am laying it upon the hearts of those that shall be my bride. And they shall come, and you shall minister to them, and you shall lead them, and you shall guide them, and you shall feed them, saith God. For have not I said unto you that this is a refuge, a place of refuge, saith God.
Father, we pray for your people. Pray for us. Pray for Israel. Father, that we would come together as one. Lord, that your church with all the denominations, God, that we would come together as one. That in this day, Lord, we would put aside our differences and our pettiness, all of the ideas of men. God, that we would seek your face. in this day and hour, Father. We hear in Revelation about how when you called and when they heard your voice, God, that they hid. Lord, they prayed to the rocks and the trees to cover them and hide them from you. God, we don't want to be afraid. We don't want to hide when you're calling. But God, we want to make our stand. We want to make our stand with Yeshua, with you, Yahweh. We want to take our stand with the saints, the believers, who did not fear except the fear of losing your presence. God, of all things, don't take your presence from us. We cry for Jerusalem. Cry for Israel. Cry for the nations. We know, God, there will be a separation of the sheep and the goat nations. There will be a division. God, I pray for the United States of America that we will stay sheep. That we will not be a goat. That we will not turn against Israel. That we will not turn against your word and your will. Father, I pray a revival in this nation, a drawing to you, a hunger, Father, for the things of God. Lord, that we would reject the things that are tearing us apart, and God, we would come together in a spirit of unity. And that unity can only be by your spirit, God. It can't be produced by men. It can't be enforced. We don't have the power. We don't have the ability to do those things. Father, your Holy Spirit can knit our hearts together as one. For this, God, we pray that we would come into unity with you and with one another through you, that we would know you in this day. Father, we pray for the light of Christ in us to shine forth, to declare your glory to all the earth. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, you are the author of our salvation. And you are the finisher. And you will bring us to that conclusion where you will look upon us and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the blessing of God. We praise you, Father. We glorify you, God, above all things. Just before Pastor Paul prayed, or gave the word of the Lord, and I know the boldness that it takes to give a word like that. That's one of those things of, Lord, I'm just shutting my mind off, and Lord, I'm letting you have your way. But I saw Michael. I saw him over Israel. Did you sense that? I'm taking a stand. I had a sword and a shield, taking a stand over Israel. And I thought there's all this talk about an iron dome, but God's had a dome there long before the iron dome.
That's right.
God's had a protection for his people Israel, for his nation, and only God can move them out. God put him back. I don't think he's going to drive him out. He didn't bring him back this time to be gone. They've been gone for almost 2,000 years. Or 1,950? Something like that. I don't know, a long time. And God brought him back. And it's a sign for our time. It's a sign for our age. The Bible says, who has seen such a thing? Who has seen this? Who has seen a nation that has disappeared brought back to life? Who has seen a people scattered to the winds and seen them come back again? God has established them. And it saddens me. This week, the messages, we may get to it, I don't know. But the messages that God gave me this week, it's been stirring on the inside of me. And this week, I really began to understand the direction that God was taking us in. God is doing a work. And his work is still the church. but I'm seeing the church different than I've ever seen the church before. I'm reading some passages in the Bible, and I'm seeing them in ways I interpreted through the eyes of tradition. I interpreted through the eyes of the understanding that I had, and God's given me more understanding. And I'm reading some of these scriptures, Pastor Paul, and it shocks me. It comes against my tradition. It comes against some of the things that I thought I knew and I thought I was established in. But God's doing a new work. I was reading this week again, and we were going to get into the end of it, but we weren't going to get into the meat of it till next week. But Paul's talking to the Jew and the Gentile, and he says he has broken down the wall of division. And that division is the law that has separated Jew and Gentile. And he says he has broken down that wall, and he is making of the two one new man. And I was going to share about if we can come into unity. I mean, the Bible says if two can put 1,000, or one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. And we can go to Ephesians, and I'll just preach from down here. Go to Ephesians chapter, don't go there, but if you go to Ephesians chapter 4, it says there's one faith, one God. One, all the way through. There's God's not divided. Paul raised a question to the Corinthians. He says, is God divided? No, he's one. And yet we have divided God. There's a God of Methodism. There's a method to everything. There's a God of Baptist. There's a God of the Brethren. There's a God of the Presbyterians. There's a God of the Episcopals. And we have divided God up so into so many pieces, he's hardly recognizable. And my heart's really gone out for the Presbyterians this week. Because I don't know if you're aware of this, but the Presbyterian, the USA Presbyterian Church in America, has said that they have come out officially against the existence of the State of Israel. And they have sided themselves with the Palestinians. And they reaffirmed that in the last, 3 weeks? They reaffirmed that. They did this several years ago, but they have really reaffirmed. And they believe that Israel no longer has the right to exist in Palestine because it belongs to the Palestinians. And this is a kind of division that is coming in the church. And Paul said, there must be divisions among you to prove he that is faithful. Not to show up other people, but they have separated themselves from the faith because Paul said that God has broken down the wall of division to make Jew and Gentile into one new man. And here we have a church, a denomination. I won't say a church. Well, it's a church, not the church. But we've got this group of people that have set themselves now irrevocably against the will of God and have declared that Israel does not have a right of existence. This goes way beyond replacement theology. It goes to a time that we have Christians standing up against the purposes and plans of God. And we have got to know who we are and know what we believe that we would not be drawn aside by the doctrines of men. And God is revealing to us this day his plans and his purposes. Says Daniel said, in the latter days, knowledge will increase. Well, we've always looked at that and said, well, that's scientific knowledge. Well, yes, that's increasing too, but our knowledge of God is increasing. And I believe in these last days, we are going to have such a revelation of God that it's going to tear down our little pickiness and our walls and our this and our that. We are seeing the final days. I don't know if you heard this week or not, but President Obama says his solution to Israel, the crisis in Israel right now, his solution to the Ukrainian crisis is, let's just make peace. Let's just agree You can't solve these things by armed conflict. I agree, you can't solve these things by armed conflict, but that doesn't mean there won't be armed conflict. Only God is going to settle this when he comes back for final judgment. But now, I want you to think about this, because this is how a lot of Christians think, even about Israel. If we call a truce and end all the fighting in the Ukraine right now, what happens? The Ukrainians lose. Russia keeps Crimea. Russia keeps this province. I don't even know what the name of the province is in Russia or in the Ukraine right now. The separatists win. The airplane that was downed with 298 people murdered, let's just forget it. Let's just have a truce. Let's not fight anymore. And you give the devil presence when you do that. You give him the victory. You just give it to him. Well, we don't want to fight. Well, of course we don't want to fight, but you have to. Freedom has got to be protected. And our freedom in Christ has to be protected. The scripture we've been quoting for seven months now. You know, thanks be unto God who always leads us in victory, in triumph, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. And the triumph there, literally, to have triumph, one has to be defeated. You don't have triumph. And the world is calling right now, let's just get along with each other. Well, they want to get along with Islam. They want to get along with Hinduism and Buddhism, but they don't want to get along with Christianity. Now, why is that? That's because they're against God. They're antichrist. They're antichrist. And it's coming against God. And when you have denominations that are choosing to be antichrist, if Christ died to make the Jew and the Gentile one, who are we to say the Jews have no rights? Who are we to dare make that accusation toward God? I'm sorry, we're just going to forget about Israel. How dare we say that to God? It's not Jew or Gentile, it's Jew and Gentile. Now, if one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight, if we could, Jesus said, if two or three are gathered together, there am I in their midst, and whatever you ask in the earth, that's now. That's not in heaven, that's not some few, whatever you agree upon in the earth, my Father will do it for you. He will do it for you. Now, God's been moving in our church in such tremendous ways. And this morning's just another tremendous move of God. But he's been moving among us. And I believe it's because we are coming to a place of unity. And our place of unity is not in that we all agree in doctrine or we all agree in lockstep, but we all agree Jesus is Lord. And we've got a lot of things we're figuring out. Amen. We've got a lot of things we're rediscovering for the first time. I think about Roxanne, and she talks about being born again, you know, and it's like God's bringing us into that refreshing. This week I took a Sabbath, and I'm coming to a new understanding of the Shabbat, of the Sabbath, and I realized that I've been taking breaks, but I haven't rested, and the Sabbath is a day of rest. It's a day when we regroup, when we get re-energized in God. That's what the Shabbat was really all about. God worked for 6 days and he rested on the seventh day, and he gave us a Sabbath. Now, it doesn't have to be the seventh day. The Sabbath can be any time you took it. I took mine on Wednesday. And it took me about 3 hours. And I think for the first time in a long time, I rested in God. I rested. I didn't take a break. I rested. And it cleared up a bunch of junk in me. You don't need to know what the junk was. It wasn't against you, but it was junk. And I needed to get rid of it. And it's like, I'm not even sure how I got into that spot of rest. But I just decided I am going to rest in God. And he gave me that Sabbath, that Shabbat. He gave me that restoration. And I woke up renewed, refreshed, energized. And it's like, I'm telling you, it feels great. And Ron and I were talking about it Sunday or Wednesday night. And I was telling him a little bit about it. I said, you know, we go to bed to rest, but we don't rest. Because you wake up just as tired as when you were when you went to bed. That is not, that's a break. That's not rest. We need to learn how to rest in God. And that rest brings us into unity with God. And the only way we can have unity with one another is to have unity in Him. Because we're not smart enough to agree on everything all the time. I've got lots of questions. I've got lots of Bible issues that I am struggling and asking God to reveal this to me. Because I thought I knew, but I don't. You know, pastors are supposed to know everything, right? You know, right? You could say amen to that. But the reality is we don't. The reality is we are still growing in God. And the things that I'm preaching to you are the areas that I'm growing in. They're the areas that I'm experiencing God fresh again. And I hope you can catch that. Because there's an excitement in it because God is doing something new. And what He's doing is He's bringing the church into that place of unity, of liberty. Because we're talking about liberty, but liberty comes in unity. I cannot be free in God until I'm in God. That's right. Until I'm in unity with Him. And once I get in unity with Him, now I've got liberty. Now I've got freedom. Why? Because men have no power over me any longer. Through fear or intimidation or whatever they want, men have no power over us. And you cannot have liberty till you break yourself off the guilt of men, of the influence that people have. That doesn't mean we go around being rebellious. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about when you know God, you can have fellowship with people of like precious faith. And God is bringing us to that point of like precious faith. Will we agree on everything? No. But we can agree Jesus is Lord. God is good. And all things work for good to those who love the Lord. We can agree on that. The timing of this or that, the exact understanding of a prophecy, we're guessing. Let's be honest. We're guessing. There's been a million books out there on prophecy, and every one of them is wrong. And every one of them is right. Because they're right. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back for His perfected church. Jesus is establishing Israel. Jesus is raising up Israel. God is doing a mighty work in the earth, and we have got to understand what God's doing. We've got to see what God is doing. And do not set yourself up against Israel. The blessing to Israel, the blessing to Abraham, those who bless you, I will bless. And those who curse you, I will curse. If we believe that God is restoring the church, and He's been restoring it since about 1632, I think, or 1517. He's been restoring it since then. If God is restoring the church, we're still in the process of restoration. So we're still learning. We're still growing as to what it means. But we're going to see that church. And right now, I can't tell you what it's going to look like. But it's going to be good. It's going to be liberty. It's going to be a place where God comes and moves and has His way. And we are just going to be able to come together and rejoice and celebrate in the things of God and not worry about tattoos or about earrings or nose rings or tongue rings or anything. And so we're going to come together in the glory of God, and He is going to make of us one new man. And there are going to be people out there, but you don't believe the correct doctrine. Well, how do I put this? God gave the Jews 10 laws. The Jews came up with 613 on their own. Or 603 on their own. It's like, which laws do you think that God wants you to follow? How about if we start and stay with the 10? And how do you keep that? What can anybody tell me what the first law is that God gave us? That's basically it. Jesus said that was the first and foremost. We will honor God. Someone get it for me. Exodus 20. Anybody got a Bible handy? I know I called you up all out of your seats, but I mean, every law hangs on the first one. Every law, everything that God wants for us hangs on the first law. Let me get it here. You shall have no other gods before me. Boom. None. No doctrine, no sign over the door. You shall have no other gods before me. Isn't that simple? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's how Jesus expressed it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, He is one. Every Jew wants to die with that on his breath. They want that to be their last word, to be a testimony to God. What a way to go out. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, He is one. Yahweh. Been thinking a lot about the name of Yahweh the last couple of weeks. Yahweh simply means the existing one. Jesus described it as the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the author and developer. All these different ways. I am that I am. Meaning there's no beginning and there's no end. He just continues and continues. You shall have no other God before me. When we can come into that place, people will come into church and get healed. Miracles will happen. The dead will be raised to life if they want to come back. I know some, they don't want to come back. I've seen visions and They don't want to come back. This is heaven's. Being with God is a good place to be. Amen. I just don't want any of you to leave early. Okay. But God is doing something. And He's bringing us into that place of unity with Him so we can walk in faith with one another. Amen. Praise God. I know this is an awkward time, but I'm going to ask our offering attendants to come. I've got such a long walk.
Yeah.
If you have to go back to your pew to get your money, I guess you can do that. Hallelujah. You want to take up an offering the Jewish way? Seriously, you want to take it up the Jewish way? I'm going to ask your offering attendants just put the plates down here in front. How do we know how the Jews took up offering? Bible tells us, you guys can sit down. The Bible tells us that Jesus was at temple and they had a what they call the treasury box, and He watched the people come up and put the money in. The one guy came up and brought a huge gift, wealthy man, and everybody goes, wow. This little widow comes up. You got to. He's watching this. This is done publicly, not privately, not in an offering envelope so nobody can see how much money. This is done publicly, and this widow comes up. She's got two mites. That's less than a penny to us. She came up with two mites, and she put them in. Jesus commented, said the man gave out of his wealth. So that's a good thing to give out of your wealth. But this lady gave out of her lack. We don't know the names of either one. But we know one gave a lot and one gave all that she had out of her poverty. Jesus knew what they gave. Everybody knew what they gave. In Africa, in Ghana, where with Pastor Charles, they put the offering bowl in the middle, and they dance for offering. I won't make you do that, but they dance for their offering. I mean, they dance. They dance. It's fun. Offering is fun in Africa, at least where I was. And they come up and they put their money in the bucket. Nobody's there to actually watch it, but they put their money in the bucket. And I'm thinking, everybody's putting money in. Well, a lot of them don't. They just put their hand in the bucket. But you get the point. It's public. And sometimes people, well, I don't want anybody else to know what I give. Well, God knows. And why should you be ashamed? If you only have a widow's mite, God will bless you. If you have great wealth, if you give to be seen by men, you have your reward already. But if you just give, we honor God with it. Heavenly Father, we receive our offerings. We receive the tithe, Father. Lord, we renew our covenant with you as we give this morning. We ask you, Father, to bless the big giver, bless the giver that only has a little to give, but Lord, let your blessings flow upon us as your people of your house. And God, we give you all the praise, we give you all the honor for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may bring your offerings. Hallelujah. If you want to dance a little bit, you can dance too. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, praise God. Well, Father, we thank you for this morning, God. Stay standing. We thank you, Lord, for this morning. We give you praise and honor, Lord, for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, for your preciousness. We thank you, God, for giving us the manifestation of your presence. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we ask, keep our hearts pure, keep us whole. Keep us in your pathway, Father. Let us not turn to the left or to the right, but let us keep walking straight toward you, Father. We give you all the praise, all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Remind you, church tonight at 6:00. God bless you.